1 John chapter 4 and the one verse, the verse 14. Can I just say it's great to see so many here. And if you're here for the first time, extend to you a warm welcome. I was speaking to a few people that are here for the first time. Do come back again on the Lord's Day. 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 14. John writes, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." We'll read it again. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Friends, tonight, the little book of 1 John is a wonderful little epistle. It's made up of 5 chapters and 105 verses. In chapters 1 to 2, we see God is light. In chapters 3 to 4, we see God is love. And in chapter 5, we see God is life. But it's verse 14 I want to consider for a few moments. Look at it again. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And tonight in the Gospel, I want to give you 3 simple reasons why our Heavenly Father sent His Son into the world. First of all, if you're taking notes, He sent His Son into the world to cancel the sins of your past. That's the first reason. To cancel the sins of your past. Now think about your sin tonight. Those open sins, those hidden sins, even those secret sins. Almighty God sees it all. If all of our sins were put up on the wall, we would all be running to the door. And no wonder the Bible makes it clear in Romans 3 and 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Listen to John Wesley, the old Methodist preacher. He said, "I am the chief of sinners, but Jesus died for me." Isn't that lovely? Jesus died for me. And you might be in this church tonight, your life is broken by sin. Jesus came into the world to save people like you and me. We are told at His birth, "You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." You see, friends, the world didn't need a reformer. The world didn't need a politician or an inventor or a scientist. The world needed a Savior to deal with the sin question in the lives of men and women. Your sin puts you in trouble with a holy God. But listen to what Jesus said tonight. "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Am I speaking to a man here tonight, and your life is broken with sin? Am I speaking to a woman tonight, and behind the smile, your life is a mess? That's why you've came. Am I speaking to a young person, and you're troubled about a situation? Well, tonight you've come to the right place. Because Jesus is here tonight to cancel your sin. He's here to remove your shame. And He's here to pay the penalty of your sentence, which is hell. Listen to the old hymn writer. "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Maybe, friend, you feel unclean tonight because of your sin. This very night, you can leave washed in the blood of the Lamb. Think about this. Sin is a debt. But He bore my sins on His own body on the tree. Sin is a disease, but He said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Sin is darkness, but He said, "I am the light of the world." Sin is a defilement, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And sin brings forth death. But Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." What a Savior. What a gospel. Never forget, one day I was on the Falls Road and I met a man. And he said to me, "I'm sinning and getting away with it." I said, "Sir, it's not payday yet. It's not payday yet." Andrew quoted it, "It's appointed unto men once to die. After this comes the judgment." And each of us tonight are either on our way to heaven or on our way to hell. If you die tonight, where would you spend eternity? Jesus said, "If you die in your sins, where I am, there you cannot be. I believe there's people in this church tonight and you're troubled about your past. I believe I'm speaking to people here tonight and you're riddled with guilt. There's people here tonight with skeletons in the cupboard. There's people here and you've done things that you're ashamed of. The Bible tells us Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We think of the woman at the well, John chapter 4. Had five husbands and living with a man that was not her husband. What a life she had. What a past she had. Sin had ruined her. Society had shunned her. But there was a Saviour that loved her. Do you know, friend, he loves you tonight? Do you know that? The Saviour loves you. We also think of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector of Jericho. He was despised by the people. And yet one day he met the friend of sinners. You see, Zacchaeus had obstacles stopping him coming to Jesus. Maybe that's you tonight. What's stopping you coming to Jesus? The boys in the club? They stopping you? Your friends, your family, your Saturday nights out? Many people think they'll not be able to keep it. Friends, you will never keep it. The Lord saves, he keeps, and he satisfies. You see, for Zacchaeus, there was the critics. They called him a sinner. There was the crowds he couldn't see. He was small. There was his companions. He was rich. He was powerful. He was even feared. There was the critics, the crowds, the companions. But this wee man met the Christ. Isn't that lovely? You can meet him this very night. He came down from one tree. Jesus spoke to him about another tree. Jesus always meets people at the tree. It's a place called Calvary. I often say if I was in Jericho that day, I'd have had to climb the tree too. Like Zacchaeus, I'm not 6 foot. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to be 6 foot. When I get a new body. You looking forward to getting a new body? No more aches, no more pains, no more false teeth. It's going to be wonderful. When the facade of her was somebody here tonight and you dropped into hell. The weeping, the wailing, the gnashing of teeth. The Bible says there's a step between life and death. This was the last time Jesus would pass this way. He was on his way to Jerusalem to go to the cross. Zacchaeus knew this was his last opportunity. Wouldn't it be sad if this was your last opportunity tonight? Think of Saul of Tarsus who became the Apostle Paul. What a past he had, huh? He called himself the chief of sinners. He hated Christians. He consented to the death of Stephen. Yet after his conversion, he could say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's lovely to see Brother Sidney Murray here tonight. Wonderful evangelist. And I remember Sidney preaching and he penned this. He said, God took him out of crooked street and he brought him into straight street. What a testimony our brother Sid Murray has. From beer and figs to ham and eggs. That right, Sid? From handcuffs to white cuffs, from a Johnny Walker to a gospel talker, free, whom the sun sets free, Sidney says, is free indeed. Do you know that man has been a wonderful encouragement to me? It's great to see him here tonight with his son-in-law. A changed life. Is there somebody here tonight and drink has bound you? Somebody here tonight and drugs has bound you? Like our brother said, like our brother Andrew, you can be set free this very night. Yes, tonight. Think of people like Mary Magdalene. Think of people like Rahab. The woman caught in the act of adultery, Legion, the dying thief. Their past didn't matter to the Saviour. Doesn't matter in this meeting tonight if you're Catholic, Protestant, adulterer, blasphemer, self-righteous, religious, or liar. If you come seeking cleansing and forgiveness, Jesus will pardon you this very night. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 11. Listen to these verses. Maybe there's people like this in this church tonight. Listen to what Paul says. Zoom in on me now. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, no thieves, no covetousness, no drunkards. No revelers nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Not looking good for many of us, but listen to verse 11. And such were some of you. Isn't that lovely? What happened? You're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. and by the Spirit of our God. Friends, you can't change your past, but you can change your future. You can't change your past, but you can change your future. So first of all, the Father sent the Son to cancel the sins of our past. Secondly, he sent them into the world to comfort you in the present. To comfort you in the present. You see, Jesus promised us he would come and live inside us. Listen to John 14:16. I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You see, during our lives, we face many trials. I know there's people here tonight, and you're going through trials. Behind a smile and a handshake, your life is a mess. That's why some of you are here tonight. You want reality in your life. Maybe in terms of your health, things are falling apart. Your marriage, your money, your children, unemployment. Even you're going through something you can't tell anybody else. What you need, friend, is somebody to comfort you when no one else cares. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And many people are turning to the wrong things to find peace. In our province, people are turning to the drink, the devil's buttermilk. People are turning to the drugs. Maybe this is you tonight. The immorality, the prescription medicine, the gambling. People turning to the wrong things. But there's always still that emptiness. And that's where Christ comes in. That's where the Lord Jesus comes in. Yes, in life we have the trials, we have the tribulations, but we also have the temptations. We all get tempted. And I know there's people in here tonight and you have no peace. I know there's people here and you can't sleep at night. I know I'm talking to people and you don't know what way to turn. I believe there's people even in here tonight and you're ready to give up in life. Listen to the words of the wee chorus. Listen carefully. I will cast all my care upon you. I will lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And any time I don't know what to do, I will cast all my care upon you. Maybe I'm speaking to people in your life has been nothing but heartaches and broken pieces. Well, tonight you can leave this church a new man and a new woman. The hymn writer penned, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord. We heard that in her testimony. But all the waters failed. And even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. Listen, now none, hallelujah, but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. Isn't he lovely tonight? Oh, he's a wonderful Savior. Yes, in the present, there's the trials, the tribulations, the temptations. There were mentioned the tragedies of life. The tragedies of life. None of us know what tomorrow's going to bring. That unexpected phone call, the test result from the hospital, the family member contemplating suicide, that son or daughter that ends up in prison. You see, your whole life can change in the space of a phone call. But isn't it lovely the Savior wants to give us peace despite the hardships? Listen to the psalmist. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So as a close tonight, and your attention is tremendous. The Father sent the Son into the world to cancel the sins of your past, to comfort you in the present, and finally, to give you confidence for your future. To give you confidence for your future. Right throughout our Bibles, there is a promise that Christ will return. Scholars debate how this is exactly going to happen, but we know one day the Lord is coming back. Because Christ has conquered death, the grave and hell, we have the hope of the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, listen to these words. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What a day that's going to be. The coming of the Lord. Are you ready for that day? Is your life in order tonight? If he came back tonight, would you rise to meet him in the air? Or would you be left behind for eternity? You see, when the Lord returns, think about this. It's going to be selective. Some are going to be taken. Some will be left behind. when the Lord returns, it's going to be serious. Think about this. Families are going to be divided. Husbands and wives. Sons and daughters. It's going to be sensational. It's going to be a glorious event like none other. But it's also going to be solemn. Millions will perish. Will you perish? Are you ready? No preacher said this. Some will be caught up and others will be caught on. Some will be caught up and others will be caught on. But Paul says, if we're saved, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Alexander White, great old Scottish preacher, used to tell his young students, go home and dream about the Lord. Isn't that lovely? What are you going to say to the Lord when you see him? Will he say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or will he say, depart from me, I never knew you? Mrs. Carrie Brack penned it wonderfully. Face to face shall I behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Face to face, oh blissful moment, face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. So friends, that's just very quickly today, three simple reasons why the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Firstly, to cancel the sins of your past. Secondly, to comfort you in the present. And then thirdly, to give you confidence for your future. We'll finish with our text, 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He's waiting on you tonight. He wants to transform your life. Question, will you come? Will you come? How do you get saved? Listen carefully. First of all, come as you are. Come with your sin. Come with your shame and your broken life, and the Savior will take you. In John 6:37, he states, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no way cast out. Secondly, you've got to call upon his name. We're told, whosoever, maybe that's you tonight, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thirdly, you've got to confess Christ with your mouth. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then fourthly, you've got to crown him the Lord of your life. Hear my last words. You can leave this church tonight with your sins forgiven. You can leave with your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can have the peace of God in your heart. Your life can be transformed tonight. Your marriage can be mended. And you can have eternal life in heaven when you die. Or you can reject it. You've been here maybe a night or two before. You've walked out and you've rejected it. Oh, friend, don't play with God. I know there's people here and you're under conviction, but you still haven't yielded. Don't play with God tonight. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll finish with a closing hymn. As we've done the other nights, we're just going to leave a moment's quietness for you to get saved. Maybe you've drifted away from the Lord. Come home tonight, friend. The Lord wants you. He loves you. And he's waiting on you. Thank God others have trusted the Lord these last lot of nights. Now here's an opportunity for you. This is your night. This is your night to trust the Lord. Father, we just thank you again for the stillness in this church. Thank you there's men and women and young people under conviction right now. Lord, give them the courage to take that step for thee. Just as Andrew has said, Lord, it takes courage. And Lord, we pray that you would give people the courage tonight to come to the foot of the cross with their sin and shame and call upon you to save them. In Jesus' name we pray.